Welcome to the Dream Factory, a warm, cozy, and extremely lovely place where only the most visceral nightmares and pleasure-driven musings of its residents are mercilessly extracted and sold for the pure enjoyment of others. The Dream Factory, a new novel by Mark Marcus. Now available on your Apple device, Kindle, and on Amazon.com. Go to CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory. Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to CandleShore. This is a very interesting episode for me, and I gave it what you might consider a curious title. Let me tell you how it came up. In the title of this episode is Christopher Dorner in the Dream Factory. Now, I don't know how it's possible, after the amount of time that's passed, I guess it's been about a week, that anyone in the United States has not heard of Christopher Jordan Dorner. He is a former LAPD officer and military personnel. He was in the military. And he recently, among other things, was fired from the LAPD. And since then, he's killed at least three people. I haven't watched the news in the last day or so, but I know that he is still at large. Now, let me just get this out of the way, because I know there'll be some of you who go, oh, I can't believe Mark's talking about this guy. I don't usually talk about such things unless they really affect me, and this one kind of does. First off, I think, regardless of what his motives were or are, because we don't know if he's dead or alive, I personally think he's already dead, but that's for a little later in the show. Anyway, I think killing people, even for vengeance, unless you're in imminent danger, is just, you know, disgusting. And I think that history will remember this man, regardless of what I'm about to tell you and what the internet has put out there. History will remember him as little more than a cold-blooded murderer, which is exactly what he is. So why am I talking about this today? Well, one of the things that the news, and by the way, do not trust the news media. One of the things that the news media is trying to paint this man as some nut, some sicko who had a history, albeit below the proverbial radar, like a lot of these murderers that you find, doing these mass murders. This is not the case here. He wrote on his Facebook page, and I am absolutely amazed that anybody would want their last testament, so to speak, to be on Facebook. I just don't see Facebook as a serious platform, but apparently I'm wrong. But anyway, before he started his revenge, the news is making him out to be an imminent danger to everybody, and that just isn't so. He wrote a manifesto on his Facebook page. You know, and the word manifesto to me has always had kind of intriguing meaning. When I think of a man, and I didn't look up the definition, I was going to give you a definition in the show today, and I thought, yeah, it's all right. When I think of a manifesto, I think of kind of somebody who writes something who's kind of a madman, somebody who has been pushed to the edge and ready to go off the deep end. You know, I really do see that. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's the way I've always viewed manifestos. Something that, if you look deep enough, you may find some meaning. For the most part, the ramblings of somebody who is virtually a nut. Okay? But anyway, once this Christopher Dorner story broke, the news media kept talking about, he wrote a manifesto, in his manifesto. So it wasn't very soon after that, it wasn't too long after that, that, of course, Facebook pulled the manifesto, because he listed a lot of names and everything in his manifesto. It's 11 pages, 11 to 15 pages, depending on how it's formatted. So then a lot of the news media, who have an agenda, by the way, make no mistake about it, put up portions of his manifesto, the part that they want you to see, but and they redacted the names and things like that. Well, the other day, I put up his entire original manifesto, because I want you to read it. I'm not trying to suggest that anyone change their thinking about killing people and what he's done. So I, you know, if he's dead, good enough. All right. I think he's forfeited his right to fair trials and due process. That's just the way I feel. So it's not like I'm saying, you know, poor guy. A lot of us are frustrated about things that happen to us that are unfair, and yet we don't take a gun and start shooting people. But anyway, getting back to the theme of the show today, in The Dream Factory by Mark Marcus, the book is, which is a fictional piece, but the book is broken up into three parts. And the first part is, guess what? The manifesto. Now, as I read the Chris Dorner manifesto, I was really amazed, a little scared, by the similarities of the two documents. Understand that the manifesto in The Dream Factory is a work of fiction, and wrote it, I think the text of it was written about almost coming up on a year ago. So this isn't, you know, it's funny. Are all manifestos the same? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. But in the protagonist in The Dream Factory by Mark Marcus, you know, his goal is to kill God. He's angry at God. He blames God for everything bad that has happened to him, of which there's quite a few. And in the Chris Dorner manifesto, he doesn't blame God, but he blames a lot of people, and those people are listed. But it's interesting how in both manifestos, words are defined. And I don't know if it's just coincidence or I don't get it. But I can tell you that in the Dream Factory manifesto, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. In turn, I think a lot of people can relate to it. It wasn't easy for me to write. It was difficult, but I tell you what, it was difficult to write in terms of putting it on paper to memorialize, these feelings. Am I going to go crazy and start killing a bunch of people? No. Will I run amok? Probably, but not that way. You know, whenever you write a book, people always ask over and over, wow, I didn't know you felt that way. Is that really the way you feel? Is that you or something? You know? And so, if nothing else, it affirms, although in kind of a dark way, that there's a lot of truth to what's in the manifesto in The Dream Factory. If I didn't know better, I would swear that Chris Dorner had been in The Dream Factory. I don't know if it's timing. Sometimes things happen in the world that are just timing. Maybe the timing's just right. I don't know. If you haven't read The Dream Factory, it has this for a shameless plug. Go pick it up. You know, you can go to, you can Google The Dream Factory by Mark Marcus. Of course, you can go to the CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory. Enough of that. Sorry. But the real goal here is not to get you to buy the book, which would be nice. I'd appreciate it. But I really do want you to find the crystal. If you are interested in this story at all, don't just take the news media's word for what he's done and why he's done it. Well, we know what he's done. I'm not suggesting, but why he's done it. I found a lot of, with my own personal experience, just living, I have no doubt that everything he wrote in that manifesto is absolutely true. I just want to make that clear. One, because I fancy myself as knowing the truth when I hear it. Two, because he leaves a lot of the empirical evidence and documentation that anybody can look it up and find it out for themselves. I like that. His manifesto is not just about, this is my opinion, this is what I think. It's like, hey, if you take the time to look at the documentation that's already on file with the LAPD and other places, you will see that what I'm saying is true. And I like that. It's sad, like I said before, that in the end, he's nothing but a murderer. History will not remember him little more than the day he is either discovered dead or captured and killed, because his days on this planet, if they have not already been cut to an end, will soon thereby be. That's just the way it works, especially when you kill policemen. All right, that's all for today. I, you know, there's just, please don't take the news. I guess there's two things. I really just, please don't take the news media word for anything. Just don't. I've seen the way they're trying to paint this guy, and the shameless, they love ratings. They had, up in Big Bear, they had this one couple, just a real pretty couple, you know, real skipping Daphne type couple, and they're like, "Oh, we're afraid he could be anywhere." He, blah, blah. You know, if anybody bothered to read the manifesto, or if you really tried to get into the head of this guy, which most people may not, they have nothing to fear from this man. And if I'm wrong, I'll put another podcast up and say. But let me just make this last statement on the subject. I think as of this date, at the date of this recording, the reason they have not found him is because he's already dead. I really do believe that. I just got a message from a news feed saying that they just offered $1 million for his capture. But I don't think that's going to happen. And let's, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. He's forfeited his right to any kind of, in my opinion, due process. Okay, so there you have it. If you go to the Candle Shore blog, and if you go to the Candle Shore blog, CandleShoreBlog.com, depending on when you go, you will see the Dorner manifesto in its entirety. If you go in the future and it's no longer on the front page, just go into the search box from the lower right, type in Dorner or any search word like manifesto. It'll pop up. And I really am pleading with you, if you have any interest in this at all, please read his manifesto. Then, you know, at least that will not validate his actions, but I do think the LAPD really needs to be put in check for a lot of reasons that I'm not able to discuss in this episode. Okay? Despite all the horrific things that are going on in the world today, there's still many more wonderful things going on that are more than enough reason for us to continue to, and for me to remind you to remember to make a joyful move. Take care, and I'll see you back here soon.